up, Jordan. Get up.
It's time to follow the money with your hosts, Mitch Moss and Polly Howard.
Hey, thanks for checking in. Here we go, live in Vegas. Mitch Moss along with Polly Howard today with you for the next 3 hours. Good guest coming up on the program, and we will touch on a lot of the betting board, including a recap of last night's UFC, soccer from yesterday, and a preview of today's card. Golf underway here now anytime as we get the Memorial and a stacked card, some NFL and the NBA as well. We'll talk about that coming up a little bit later on this hour. So, Paulie, a late card last night. I guess welcome into the unofficial UFC postgame show. but another solid card overall. The favorites ended up going 7-4. And since the return back on May 9th, favorites are sitting at 71-29. And the overs last night went 6-5. I will say this. It got off, a mixed bag last night with the results and some of the guests that we had on the program. Got off to a great result. Good observation by you and Jordan Sherwood as well on the program yesterday, who this Shore character, first of all, he's phenomenal, was bet up like 770 or maybe even a little bit higher in some spots. And then to notice that by submission, well, throughout his career, he's been great at subbing guys. And he got the job done again last night at even money or even at some spots a little bit better.
Yeah, even money or plus money while we were on the show. He got to $9 at William Hill. He was higher than that globally. And he was also plus 450 to win in round two. You're right. He is a submission expert, and he'll finish you. So that was a great start by Jordan. And how about the total there, Mitch? One second. The guy waiting, Phillips taps. One more second, and it would have gone over. I mean, that was wild where he's got it locked in. Now, when is the guy going to submit? 50, 34, 33, 32, 31. There's the tap. That's it. It stays under. How about that?
And I watched the replay of that. So as he's tapping and as the referee comes in to call it off, it's rolling from 231 to 230. So it's like, okay, officially, where are they going to call this fight stopped at? And they did it at 231 officially. So underbettors actually rejoice on that one. A little bit of luck, but it's amazing how sometimes it comes down to that. We've had that a few times actually since the return after the lockdown.
Yeah, I know someone who had the over. It's like, oh, what are you going to do? I know that it's a tough racket. Then you had the Jojua fight, and the favorite there, she was the dog. The favorite was bet up from 160 to 220 at William Hill. She finishes her, and that's a nice payday. That is 9-1 in round one at Westgate and plus 550 by submission. And then, you know, the Fishgold didn't do much against Gordon. That was an easy win for Gordon by decision. Then all hell broke loose with the next fight. And I know I haven't seen this in a long time in the UFC, maybe ever, which there were some people tweeting right when they're ready to go, I have to jump in on the favorite here based on principle. Well, number one, it was a weird ending. But the favorite here who won was minus 260. Now, Mihalidis was the dog in the fight. He went from plus 225 to plus 110 at Circa and Caesars. It was nothing but money for the dog here. And as I mentioned, the favorite opened 260. No one wanted him. And he went down to like a $1.20 favorite, $1.25 favorite at Caesars. And then he comes in with the elbows at the end of the round. Yep. The referee looks at him and goes, are you okay? And then Bisping was right on both counts. They open the gate to come in. The corners come in. And he falls out. So then the ref's looking at it like, oh, he doesn't know where he is, which still might have been true. But as Bisping also said about the tough break opening the cage, it was also he wasn't putting up much of a fight. He wasn't upset. It appeared that the referee stopped it, though, either. So, I mean, I think it was the right call. What do you think?
Well, I do, too. And so when he was going, the question was if it was going to be the illegal elbows or not. And when they actually asked the ref at that point, you want to look at the replay? And he actually told them, no, I know what I saw. I don't need to see the replay. And then how about the bump on the back of his head?
Yeah.
How big that was. That was also another bad look with him staggering out when they opened it up. But it was close, but I still think it was on the up and up, and I thought it was legal. So what a line move in that one. By the way, that Jojua fight, back to that for a second.
Yeah.
Just based on body, I did not bet the fight, but I was close to pulling the trigger on the other side. And I'll explain that here coming up in a second because of Jojua's body language. And welcome into the program. This is Follow the Money here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Mitch Moss, along with Paulie Howard, recapping the UFC fight card from last night. And we're talking about the JoJua fight when they introduce her first. And by the way, I mean, doesn't Bruce Buffer deserve a standing ovation? This guy never mails it in. I mean, there's 15 people in the arena, and he's just like, fighting! And he's just all the entire time. I mean, it's great. Nobody, there's not one fan in the stands. Anyway, JoJua, she's got this big smile on her face, and she's like, oh, like this. And she won't stop like laughing or smiling, like she's happy to be there. And then they get over to the other girl who she's fighting, and she's all pissed off and mad or ready to get in the octagon. I'm like, based on body language here, I think JoJua might go down. Dead wrong. Thank God I didn't bet it, because she got her in the arm bar, and then it was all over with at that point.
Yeah. Yeah. But, it was, I thought, you know, does somebody know something here with that fight with the Bogoskis? This guy's 10-2.
Yeah.
And then the opponent is 12-3. And you're just seeing a move from plus 225 to plus 110 on the dog, right? Because you figure the public's not betting dog like that unless it's a big name like Masvidal, right? So you think that was some sharp money. And that was, just a weird finish. And then, the favorite goes in and takes him out at the end of the round.
I know Lou Finocchiaro later on in the day on VSiN yesterday, he was on Murphy at plus 130 or a little bit higher. Great
that
performance.
Kid's a problem. Oh, that kid's going to be a problem. He's good. That's right. And Ramos is a talented guy as well, based on the body of work and the stories they were telling too. But about Murphy to come, he was in trouble in the first round, and he didn't panic. He was calm, cool, and collected there when he had him, Ramos, in trouble, and also when he had him on the ground. And he took his time and landed those serious shots, and that was all she wrote, too. And he was a nice payday. He was plus 550 by knockout, 8-1 to win in the first round, and he stays unbeaten. Good for him.
Yep. He was a surgeon, man, with some of those shots. He knew exactly where those punches were going to land, and he took his opponent apart. Ramos, like you said, how about is it Lazez fight?
Oh.
And so that the onslaught of punches that he took as soon as the fight started, and to actually withstand that, and his overall chin to still remain up and never go down. And then after that, I mean, it was pretty much all him. I mean, it was still a good back and forth and some high drama, but I did get one tweet last night again about books maybe having the wrong favorite up. He was, so at DraftKings, I saw this, the guy took a screen grab. He grabbed him at plus 850 in the second round. I saw he was favored in some other books in the second round.
Yeah. Wow. Yes, it was. Abdul's a talented guy, and he's got a lot of power, but he punched himself out midway through the first round. You could see that. Good observation by Bisping. The guy was gassed. And then there was a great textbook technical fight by Lazez, who was 10-1 to win by decision, to just piece him up, take some shots at him, and then take him down. And get on top of him and go to work on him as well. But you're right. So the whole thing about the in-play and the opportunities that are out there, well, number one, we were talking about the shenanigans because the judges have been incompetent here since the restart, and everyone's frustrated, including Dana White. But the other thing, and you can put the Cormier fight tweet up, and you can talk about the Cater fight, Elliott fight. The other thing is maybe the books are just putting up a bad number. Maybe they're watching a different fight than you and me. Because there's no way. That fight completely changed by the second round. And the fight also did a 180 and momentum changed. Because the jaw on that guy, one thing. Give him credit for standing in there. What a jaw that guy has. He can take a shot. But he was in control by middle of the first round.
I totally agree.
There were judges who gave him. There were judges who gave him that first round.
Yep. It wasn't the same thing as the Overeem fight. When he came back in the first round, like a month and a half ago, when he just got the living crap beat out of him right away for the first 2.5 minutes or so, then he turned it around and won the first round. But Lazez, to actually, how many shots did he take?
Yeah.
He's a big boy, by the way.
Yeah.
Those are landing. Yeah. Those are vicious shots. And he's just like smiling and laughing it off and like, bring it on. And then he just took over at that. And then but the pace, Paul, in the first round, and eventually it's going to die down, but they still come. It's like they were throwing haymakers. It wasn't like the first round the entire match, but still in the second round and the third round, you thought if he catches him here with any of these rights that he's throwing right now or a combination, it's going to get ugly.
Yep.
That was a great fight.
Yes, it was. Yeah, back and forth. And the favorite took a lot of money there from 280 to 360. The other one, and I put this in my parlay yesterday, Chimaev, total mismatch. I mean, the Phillips kid had no shot, and Chimaev appears to be a talented guy. I mean, that's a fight where you think, okay, this is over 10 seconds in. He just runs up to him, takes him down, puts him in a bear hug, and then just mounts him, and he's moving him all over the octagon. It's like, oh, this guy's in trouble, and he was. But that, what about that line movement? That opened 250 at William Hill and closed 550 here in town. When we were talking about that fight yesterday on the air, Chimaev was 330. So how about that move? So we're talking about the only game in town. We're starving for sports and action. We're looking for something to bet. Look at this. It's on national TV. It's the only thing going. The hell with the MLS. And look at these moves. I mean, it's William Hill. And it also because of what happened on Saturday, where all five favorites get there. So the public was coming out, a little more money in their pocket. And with the exception of that weird Mikalidis fight, a lot of favorite, you know, Abdul took money, big money. The female who got submitted in the second fight took a 60-cent move. The huge move with Chimaev. The Cater fight was going crazy, although there was some support for the dog there because it was the main event. Elliott took money. He got there. And then Meatball Molly. Oh, what happened? From an 80-cent move on Meatball Molly. And she didn't have much. She you know, that was a bad result for Molly.
Oh, that was terrible. Clearly, yeah. The wrong side was favored in that one. She was totally dominated, and that cost me multiple tickets last night. So that was a no good result for me and many bettors. That kept going up and away. And I'll give you this. So, I talked to John Murray a couple times yesterday from the Westgate Superbook. He sent me a text that said, "Oops, some sharp money coming in on McCann," and that number was obviously moving throughout the day. And then he sent me a text probably a few hours before the card actually started. And he goes, "This is strange. We just had our sharpest guy come to the book and bet the other side, bet Santos. So now I'm confused." But he said, "Mitch, this is the sharpest guy that we have in the MMA." And then we saw Santos look just phenomenal last night, like the performance of her lifetime. And she could be a true player moving forward with that performance, right?
Yep.
And then I just said, "Well, I guess that's why he's your number one guy." And he goes, "It was strange because he never gets a bad number." But he said he took a bad number on Santos because it kept going up and away. McCann, I think, got to, I think I saw like maybe 190 offshore at some spots. But that's happened before where they've had different sharp action on two sides. And that guy, I think, is won out every single time.
Wow.
We're off the air, so I'm not going to say anything. I don't have that information until later on in the day, but evidently this guy who I don't know, John's never given me his name. I don't ask for it, but he's awesome.
Yeah. Duffel bag boy, maybe? I don't know. She got to $2 at William Hill, and that's the thing we talked about with Jordan Sherwood yesterday. Because when you go deep in the roster, the casual fan, I don't know who a lot of these fighters are. But then you look at a Santos and you see 15-1. Wow. But then Molly had won 9-10. So a lot of guys had some great records, but you don't know if they're fighting tomato cans. You don't know if you're fighting, like Jordan said, Santos was fighting a lot of gals who are 1-0 or 2-1 and stuff like that. So yeah, it's tough. You can be a 9-0 and be a fraud. 9-1 and be a fraud. You could be 15-1, battle tested, 16-1. You could have 2-3 losses, but have a great resume and be a hell of a fighter. So that was a kind of a unique card where you saw so many gaudy records, and then you know it turned out to be some girls were legitimate, other fighters weren't legitimate, and other guys happened to be tomato cans, like the John Phillips guy who had 22 wins and showed nothing against Chimaev and has lost 4 or 5 fights now.
Let's go back to the Daniel Cormier tweet, because I actually, it was on the Elliott Benoit fight, and I disagreed with him. I know that there's a lot of other people that did as well. But so as this fight's going on, again, this is an example of remove your opinion from it. I thought Benoit was winning the fight. Cormier disagreed, and he was actually paying attention to the in-play betting. He said, "Elliott is winning the fight. I don't understand what the in-play wagering is looking like right now. It doesn't make any sense to him." And so Elliott was plus 240 in the second round, and they go to the judges, and lo and behold, guess who wins? It was Tim Elliott who comes out on top. Cormier was right. But when he sent that out, Paulie, I was reading the responses, and it's what you would expect. Like, every single response to Daniel Cormier was, laugh out loud, you're a joke, pay attention to the fight, what are you doing tonight, why are you not watching, clearly you're wrong on this. I mean, it was just every single one. I'm like, he's probably going to be right, because everybody thinks one side's winning, it's going to be close, and then Elliott gets the decision.
Yeah, that's strange. Sure.
Who did you think won the fight?
I thought Elliott won the fight.
Did you?
Yeah. I mean, that's hard though. Some of these are difficult. Difficult rounds to score. I mean, it's yeah. But I don't know. Why are you gonna go after the guy? There's confusion during the broadcast a lot as well about who they think. Because Bisping said. How do you guys see it? I think it's over. I think this guy clearly won the first two rounds, and then Anik has to bring up, well, what happened in the first two and a half minutes of that round? The guy was in trouble. Oh, yeah, you're right. I forgot about that, he says. So I don't know what the judge. The other good thing is I'm glad they're mentioning the in-play on the broadcast, too. I mean, that'll tell you about that. That's a great job. Whether you put up a tweet or you actually mention what a guy is in-play, that especially once you – it's an entertaining fight. I think that's a great job by – UFC to do that.
Have you ever seen Bisbing's Twitter handle, his account?
No.
It is hide the women and children.
Really?
Not safe for work. Oh yeah, he will drop every single imaginable curse word ever created. So he's quite entertaining. But I am convinced of this though too. The more we go on, and I know that this has been a talking point for a while, I'm pretty convinced that the judges. Kind of, they hear what's going on with the commentary, and that might influence what they're looking at in a fight. I mean, throughout the card, there are so many examples of, and maybe I'm wrong on this, right? But there are so many examples of maybe either Felder or Bisping. I think it's usually Bisping who just reacts to everything. Wow! Yes. Like, and the shot never landed.
That's like that's true.
The guy clearly blocked it, man. You got to stop doing that. You cannot overreact to every throw and kick or left jab or whatever it is. You can't.
Yeah, that's a good point, because that influenced the judges maybe, because he's doing his job. But you're right, he's calling action that isn't there, and he's going crazy every time he thinks there's someone lands a punch. So with the five fights going to decision on the main card, that's a Scoop Jackson for the books with all the index props. You know, as John Murray likes to talk about that. That's a big one. You go decision right in a row like that, and you didn't have a lot of big payouts as we've seen in the last couple fights. Your biggest payout was 9-1 by Jojua in round one. Murphy was 8-1 at the Westgate to win in round one. The Lelez guy by decision as well, 10-1, which you figured there was no way that was going the distance. And he was a sizable dog in that one. So, you know, good job. Entertaining card again. Bam, the knockers and good, pretty good card Saturday. And the one after that, the 25th. I mean, there are 14 fights on that sucker with some big names going at it, too. So good times.
We haven't even talked. Yeah, we didn't even mention the main event yet. Cater over Ige. And it turns out that all that sharp movement, globally speaking, when they first posted this number, was the right side. I do think that it was, I think the scorecards were maybe, well, I thought Cater won the fight, but he was minus $8 at William Hill going to the second round. And I just thought, wow, I thought that first round was actually pretty close, and now minus $8. Yeah. And I thought some of the other rounds were a little bit close. I thought that Cater won the fight, but maybe like 49-46. I thought it probably should have been like 48-47. I thought Ige was in it. I thought he lost, but Cater's good. He's really good.
I thought Ige was just going for the knockout in the last two rounds.
Yeah.
Cater was cutting him up and putting together a good game plan. Landed a lot of shots, and Ige was trying to land the knockout punch, and that wasn't going to happen. So that went. There was different prices on that too. You see, Westgate and FanDuel got to $330. It was lower than that at William Hill and some other spots. So eventually, people said enough's enough. They're going to jump in with Ige, and that happened because they thought it was too high. But yeah, like Nick told us Monday from Circa, that thing was like $1.70 when it opened. It was like the Chimaev. I wrote him down early. As soon as those came out at William Hill, he was $250. And he goes off at 550, and he's a 330 favorite yesterday when we're talking about it on the air. We're discussing the Shore fight yesterday. He's, 650, now up to 7. Then we saw 720s before we got off the air. Then he gets off the $9. higher at some spots, but still the guy is like even money or minus 135 when the fight goes off by submission. And bam, he does it again. What is he now? 13-0 and 12 of them by stoppage.
Yep. We also, I mean, moving forward, we saw a lot of dangerous fighters last night. You brought it up with Murphy earlier. He's going to be a problem. No doubt.
Yes.
Super impressed by Lazez last night. Shore, who was a huge favorite against a guy that had to make a comeback, obviously. If Santos fights like that on the women's side, watch out. Yep. I mean, completely dominated McCann. But there were some good, and the, I wrote down another one. Can't read his name, but there were like four or five fighters. Yeah. The guy that you just brought up, Chimaev. You don't think that he's going to be a problem, Paulie, in the next couple of months? Wow.
Yeah. He appears to have some talent. Yeah. So it had everything. You had the fight right off the bat, and then it comes down to 1 second to decide the round prop. And then you saw a significant amount of money for a dog who got stopped on with the opening of the cage and a favorite who opened 260. You could have grabbed minus 120 before they started the fight. So that was strange. But once again, it had everything and was a good card.
How about that hotel they kept showing last night? And John Anik was like, it's probably the nicest hotel I've ever been in my entire life.
Yeah. Well, they have to show a lot of Abu Dhabi. They came through to Fight Island. Give them their pops on the air.
Yep. All right, so follow the money here on VSiN, the sports betting network. We will run down Win Some, Lose Some in about 25 minutes, get to soccer, the golf as well, and NBA bubble odds. Maybe this team could be trouble for the Lakers in the first round if it breaks this way. Coming up here, follow the money. They are underway at the Memorial. We'll get you a golf update coming up in about 10 minutes here and follow the money on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Mitch Moss along with Paulie Howard here on a Thursday morning. I did see a couple of things here. We'll get into some global odds with the NBA coming up about the bubble in a second. Rudy Gobert, do we want to hear from him about the bubble?
Oh, God.
He called the snitch hotline petty. And then you have Doc Rivers, who's joking around telling media members, I'm calling in everybody, LeBron, Kawhi, and not Kawhi, LeBron, Greek Freak, everybody. Yep. Screw it.
Yeah.
I have nothing to lose.
I don't know what Gobert, what he's talking about. It's petty. There's no need for the hotline. Everyone's aware of the virus. Well, you weren't, apparently, at least how serious it was. What the hell were you doing? You're touching tape recorders and kissing teammates, and now you got a bad relationship with Mitchell, you know? Mm-hmm. By the way, we're just ready. What are we? Like 40 minutes away from Morikawa and Cantley and DeChambeau going out there. And I got to tell you, Mitch, I'm spent. I'm out of gas already, 20 minutes into the show. I mean, I'm an old guy now. If I can't get a nap in, that card went till 10 o'clock Pacific last night. We got to get up at 2 in the morning, show on the air at 4 every day. Oh, my God. It's great to nap sports,
I tried to nap like 3 times yesterday. It failed every single time. I'm a horrible napper. God, if I could have that somehow given to me at my age, please somehow give me that gene to be able to nap whenever I want. We do have some odds globally speaking with the NBA in the bubble. Will an NBA this is a little outrageous, but will an NBA team be removed from the bubble due to the COVID concerns? Yes, minus $30. No, plus +9. How about NBA players? Will the NBA ban players from social media inside the bubble? Ooh. No, minus $25. Huh?
Yeah. If these girls keep saying they get invites, I mean, I don't know what the hell's going to happen. How can it be 9-1? That's way too high that they could kick a team out. That could happen. I mean, right down the street in Orlando, you've seen one team. Two teams sent home already with the MLS tournament. So there could be an outbreak. They could tell the team.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, some of this is ridiculous. The limits are so small, but still, definitely that could happen. Yeah.
Will any player violate bubble guidelines? Yes, 5-1. Sorry, yes is minus $5. I guess I am tired too. No is plus $3. Will any player violate the bubble? That's going to happen, is it not? I mean, didn't Holmes already violate it, kind of speaking, with the Kings?
What's the definition of violate? I mean, what is it? If you go out and someone snitches on you because you don't have your mask on? I mean, if you get Uber Eats or Postmates and you cross the line, does that count? Yeah, you know, who knows?
I'd but remove? So, sure.
Removed. That has to be. You're bringing a girl in, right? And you're caught. That's what that has to be.
Is that going to do the trick?
Or multiple warnings? It could be for food or not wearing the mask. I don't know. I mean, who knows what the hell's with some of these weird props.
A player to removed is minus $5. Yes is 3-1.
Yeah.
I don't know what that would take.
Multiple violations. Multiple. Yeah. Hey, listen, we gave you two warnings. Everyone keeps calling on you and snitching on you. You're out. I guess that's what it would be.
Let me run this idea by you. So the Trailblazers, they are 2.5 games back, 3.5 games back of Memphis right now for the 8 seed. And of course, get to a playoff, see what happens at that point. But as they get their guys back, Paulie, and they're healthy, especially their bigs who basically did not play this season, and as you look at the problems that the Lakers could potentially have in the backcourt, I don't think a lot of people want this to happen. Clearly, the front office and Adam Silver would not want to see the Lakers get bounced in the first round. But if the Blazers can get that 8 seed, don't you think with Lillard, McCollum, their guard play, who is it going to be? Alex Caruso for the Lakers getting a lot of minutes trying to stop them? And then they get their bigs back down low finally to maybe help out and neutralize Davis a little bit. Do you think Portland would be a problem, at least make it interesting for the Lakers?
Yeah, they would be. I'm trying to see what the schedule is, though. Yeah, but Boston, tough schedule. Yes, but it's not going to happen. Boston, Houston, Denver, the Clippers, Philly, Dallas, they have a tough schedule. I can't see them making up that ground. Because they're right there with the Pelicans, and the Pelicans have an easy schedule. It's a joke. I mean, it just seems like it's a concerted effort to get Zion in there. But
I know.
But they really. Portland has a tough schedule, so I don't think it's going to happen. But then again, you don't know who these teams are going to play. I mean, who are the Clippers going to play? That's the other thing. Brian Windhorst is right on the money. How are you going to bet this stuff? The NBA's not giving you any information to begin with, and who knows how many guys are going to play? 20 minutes? 15 minutes? Once teams lock up a one, what's the motivation to get a good seat too? So it's no fans.
And up next here, follow the money on VSiN, a golf update, and tee times that we have coming up this hour and early next hour, plus Tiger and DeChambeau props here on VSiN.
If you're a sports fan, you haven't been to Bet Rivers Sportsbook, you're missing out. Bet Rivers is a live streaming a massive number of sporting events every day from around the world. You can watch live soccer, tennis, baseball, and more right on your phone. Sign up now for the Bet Rivers Sportsbook app and get up to $250 bonus on your first deposit. The best part of this offer is all bonuses are only one-time playthrough. Go to Bet Rivers Sportsbook today. Start your winning streak. Sign up now. $250 match on your first deposit. All bonuses are one-time playthrough. No faster way to turn your bonus cash into real cash. Download the Bet Rivers Sportsbook app today. Must be 21. Playable in Colorado, Illinois, Indiana, New Jersey, and Pennsylvania. Playable in New Jersey as PlaySugarHouse.com. We're underway. Oosthuizen is one under. A bunch of golfers are even. On Ortiz, Noren, Fitzpatrick among them. And DJ, Thomas, and Schauffele going 42 minutes.
Yep.
We have Morikawa and some other guys going in about 38. Morikawa, DeChambeau, and Cantley in about half an hour. So let's rock and roll.
Yep. Update, by the way. Moments ago, Oosthuizen, a birdie on two. So he is 2 under now through two, and Ben on with an eagle.
Oh,
on his second hole. So fire it up. We have two golfers already 2 strokes under, and they've only played 2 holes.
All right, there you go. Okay, finally, I got it now. As I bring it up on my screen, they finally show. Okay, good. Oh, there we go.
Some of the props available.
I'm with you, bud. Can I jump in? I'm with you, by the way. It'd be nice if someone wasn't the leader wasn't 8 under today.
Yeah. I'm guessing it's going to be 4 or 5. I know they're going to try to make it. The course is supposedly tougher this week than it was last week, but I still think it's going to be like 4 or 5 probably to be the leader. It'd be nice to see a 1 or 2 under par. So some props that they have up on Tiger. Great job on some of the books in the Midwest and back East. Length of his longest drive in round one. Actually, check that. This is DeChambeau. Think about this. His longest drive is 355.5 yards. Over his even money, under is minus 125. That's for Bryson. And is the length of his longest drive in the tournament, 380.5.
Wow. Mama. That's great. I like what Bet Rivers did. They got first round score on all the big names.
Yes,
and
they do.
A lot of them are like 69.5 in that range. But they put up a first round score with all these guys too. How about the sharp six shooter, they call it at Bet Rivers? Another creative prop that they have about pick a guy out of the six. Who's going to have the best score in round one? Again, instant gratification. Cash a ticket right off the bat.
Yep. And they put in like 4 or 5 really big names, and they put in kind of a long shot. For example, their group one is Rahm plus 335, Webb plus 350, Woodland 4-1, Finau 450. They throw in Sergio at 5-1, and then Horschel at plus 550. That's group one. Group two, a little bit bigger with the names, Rory plus 275. You get Tiger, Koepka, Rose, Lowry, and Mickelson in it. And did you not make a bet on Koepka to come out of, what was it, Group C?
Yeah, Group C.
+$3? Okay.
Yep, they have
I like that,
that
so bet. That's a good bet, I think. Yep.
There's your six shooter, right? And then they have the Group A, B, C, D as well. And Group C, yeah, was Koepka, Tiger, Morikawa. Who's the other guy? Fowler. And Koepka's plus 350. So a lot of great stuff at Bet Rivers. Good golf,
Matty. That's a good number. We do have a guest coming up from DraftKings in about 25 minutes. And some of the Tiger props they put up, you can bet pretty much everything in round one. Is he going to birdie his first hole? The yes is 4-1. No is minus 625. I like this. I like the no on will he hit his starting hole fairway in regulation. The no is plus 163. I'll take the no. Will he hit his starting hole green in regulation? The yes is minus 305. No is plus $2 or a little bit more. Then you can bet on his longest drive in round one. Is it going to be top 10 after round one? How many birdies with a total number? How many bogeys? Will he have a bogey-free round? How about that? Is that possible? That pays out some pretty plus money for him to have a bogey-free round.
It's not strange, but it's hilarious with the liability on him that you see most places. He's top 2 or 3 in tickets, and the money quote, I can't remember who it was, but one bookmaker said he could be off for 2 years and they bet him to win the tournament. And there'd be liability on him. I mean, he hasn't played since February. So yeah,
I think that was Stonebeck over at MGM.
Yeah. Okay. Good line. Yeah.
And he's right. I mean, you're spot on, like every book here in Las Vegas. Anyway, he's second in money bets. And number one overall in tickets. And if he plays well this week, again, as we talked to Jeff Sherman on Tuesday, just watch, pay attention to his number in future majors for this year, especially the Masters, because that'll be dropping on day one if he plays well today.
Mm-hmm. I'll tell you, the other guy, the new guy, might be DeChambeau. He was down to 9-1 at some spots. The public's in love with DeChambeau now.
Well, I mean, when he won it a couple of weeks back, it wasn't this field, but it was still a pretty decent field, right? And he was 6-1. He was so close to winning. I can't bet that. How do you bet a golfer at 6-1?
No, silly. No, yeah. I'm with you. I can't believe he's 9-1 here with the stacked field. But it's just the liability on this guy. He's the new Tiger. I mean, they're cutting in line to bet this guy. Crazy.
Yeah. Let me check. I think we had a good tweet about gauging how difficult this the field is actually this week. A guy went back and looked. Here you go. Justin Ray. Good tweet. This week's Memorial has the highest strength of field rating of any non-major WGC or players going back to 2000. The strength of the field numbers for this event, this week's event, is better than 18 different major championships in the past 20 years.
Wow.
I mean, it kind of makes sense, right? I mean, yeah. guys were not playing for 3 months, basically. And this is one of the bigger tournaments, you know, bigger non-majors out of the entire year. So
it's going to be a fun four days. What do you expect out of JT? You know, is it like Kramer? These losses haunt, they linger, they stick with you. I mean, to blow that, now you have to, I guess the good thing is it's a good right to get back out there after you blow a 3-shot lead with 3 holes left and you lose in a playoff. But we'll see how he does coming up. Well, and he's paired with DJ and Schauffele, and they go in about half an hour.
Here's what I think, Paul. It's the ultimate moving, you know, looking ahead to Sunday. It's the ultimate I told you so with Thomas. Either way, whichever way it goes.
Yeah.
If he plays well and he's in contention and maybe he wins this bad boy, it's like, yep, told you. See, I knew that he was going to be okay. He played the course extremely well last week, had a chance to win, and he picked it up. And if he falls on his face, it's going to be automatically, well, that was simple, wasn't it?
Yep. Indy Jeff's pick. Yeah. And we took some answer as well at 50-1. He tees off in about 10 minutes, too. And you got Neiman going in 10 minutes as well with Bubba.
Very fun addition of Win Some, Lose Some. Paulie will run down all the line moves and the bad beats coming up next.
Make sure you're ready for the action. Sign up for First Bet, a new betting and handicapping product from ExpressBet. Use the promo code Vegas500 to get a $10 free bet as soon as you sign up, plus receive up to a $500 bonus for wagering in your first 30 days. First.com/bet for more info. Again, that's first.com/bet, promo code Vegas500. Time for win-lose.
Rough night.
Can't call it a bad beat. Definitely lose some.
Good night. How does it make you feel?
I absolutely hate them. I absolutely hate them.
Follow the Money Looks Back so we can learn for today.
Everything's an adventure.
In Win Some, Lose Some. Let the education commence.
All right, couple of bad beats. How about the Jack Shore fight over? You lost by 1 second. That was phenomenal. That's why we love this racket. I mean, 234. It's in, 33. It's tight, 32, 30, not tap, there's the tap. I mean, it's about 231 of the second round, there's the tap, which came down, decided by 1 second. That is awesome. This was a disgrace. Wolves minus $1.10 against Burnley in the Premier League. A PK in the final minute of the match. The guy for the Wolves, for Wolverhampton, okay, so the guy for Burnley is going to do a bicycle kick. So the guy for Wolverhampton puts his hand up so he doesn't get kicked in the face. The ball, he whiffs. The Burnley guy whiffs on the kick. Then the ball hits the guy's shoulder. They said, okay, PK handball. Come on. It wasn't intentional. You can't be you can't decide matches like that. That's a big 2 points they missed out of. And but you know, I had under 1.5 in play too. And, you know, there's another one in the 95th minute. There it is. Ridiculous call. They went to review, and they still said that's a penalty. That's a joke.
Terrible call.
He put his hands.
Yeah. Burnley, though, plus a half was one of Nigel's leans yesterday here on the show. And so how many times I tweeted him this too yesterday. I'm like, how many times when you need a goal late like that, an extra time, do you actually get it? Normally it works the other way. But it was a total miracle, and it never deserved to take place.
Yeah. Yeah. What a fiasco. I mean, that's Burnley again. What is that? With one loss in 14, 15 matches. Crazy. Winsome.
Right.
Murphy by knockout, plus 550 at the Westgate to win in round one, 8-1. He's a real deal. Joe Jua, plus 550 by submission and 9-1 in round one. Shore, plus 450 to win in round two. Lazez by decision, 10-1 at the Westgate. What a fight that was. He was in trouble in the first round. They did a great job. Yeah, the Abdul also punched himself out. Bad for the books. Jack Shore does it again. 13-0, 12 of them by stoppage. He was $6, open $6, closed $9 at William Hill, and got higher than that in some spots. Chimaev, 250 to 550, was in the 320 to 330 range yesterday morning when we were talking about the card on air with Jordan Sherwood. And he goes off at 550 favorite at some spots. Elliot.
So think about that, Paul. That's that's two different $3 moves on the same card last night.
Uh-huh. Yep. Elliot, 125 up to 155. Perfect storm, Mitch. You know, favorites keep winning. Only thing going on Wednesday night. Absolutely. It's on television. Lose some. Balbita got submitted in the early against Joe Jua. 160 up to 220. No good. Now, this was bizarre. Mihalidis, plus 225 down to plus 110 at Circa and Caesars. The favorite opened 260 in that fight. And Bukakis got him with the elbows, and then the referee stopped it saying, hey, you don't know where you are, and then the cage opens up. That and everything there. Abdul Razak, 280 at 360 at William Hill. And Meatball Molly, no good. 120 up to $2, outclassed by Santos. That was no good as well. Let's go win some. Go ahead.
I was going to say, what was that last night by Meatball Molly? I feel like I'm the meatball for betting on her multiple times last night. It was a terrible performance.
That happens. If you think the Santos girl was a fluke, that she hadn't beat anybody, she looked like the real deal. I know she's 16-1, but if it was tomato cans, who knows? That's a tough part about this racket when you look at records and resumes. Win some. So we got into this last week about people who don't know what side of the side of the car the gas tank is on, right?
Oh,
people
boy.
Have no clue.
Yeah.
This lady's got it figured out, though. Look, I've been doing it wrong the whole time. She backs it in. Can't go wrong, right? Look at that. Are you serious? Oh, my God. Well,
Paulie, I'm not kidding here. It took me like 2 minutes to see what was wrong with it because I've never seen this before in my entire life. And I thought, is she trying to pump it in with two hoses? What am I looking at? And I said, wait a second here. She backed into it? What?
Backed. Yep. Yeah. It's like the guy eating his spaghetti with scissors. We've been doing it wrong the whole time. Yep. How about this? The hot as hell. Oh, here's the girl. Yeah, the girl that three different times.
Yeah.
This video we played last week. Just a travesty. And it's not, you know, I thought it might have been bogus, but as a viewer pointed out, and a great catch, she puts the seatbelt on all three times.
Yes.
That's how you know it's real. That she drives around three times. Is like, no, it's still on the same side. It didn't go anywhere. It didn't change. Is he trying? Okay, very good. So Matt's got the hot as hell golf tour going, and here he is yesterday at Reflection Bay with Everson. Do you have the video that he put? They put a video up. Here it is. Matt before said, we must stop the terror. It must stop. Now watch this drive. Not bad. Yeah, I'm a lot of regrets, Mitch. You're right. That's one of them. The only sport you can play is
by far and away.
We got to get it together. We have to get it together. As always, Paulie does
make. Since, you moved out here, what, when you were 23, 24? Same with me. I've had so many people say, Mitch, I'll help you with your golf game. Just show up Saturday, 7 o'clock, no problem. I'll teach you. Like, we'll go over stuff for like an hour. Oh, do you want free golf today? Nah, I don't want any of it. Nothing.
Sure. At Paulie Does Vegas on Instagram, as always, the dog videos. Look at this with the toilet paper. Toilet paper in the couch. I mean, he got the roll of TP. It's everywhere, right? Spread out all across the carpet, all over the living room. He's got toys out there. He walks in. What'd you do? Puts the look at the look on his face. The box doesn't want to make eye contact. He knows what he. That's a big fella. Jesus, oh, that's a big. I mean, that is. Oh,
the mess all over.
Absolutely. And raccoons have been popular the last couple of days on this show. Look, this is what we talked about. This viewer sent this in. This is Mexico. Look at all the raccoons. They come up and he's feeding them. They come out of nowhere. Now, look at this. Look how smart they are. Well, the one guy, see, they're at a restaurant, actually. They're at some type of restaurant. I don't know where they come from, but he's giving them snacks. And then the one's like, I'm going to jump on the table and take what you have, right? That's from Frank.
You know what?
Look at this.
And he's at the table.
Yeah. The raccoon jumped right up. He's like taking a tomato or something. As we showed yesterday or 2 days ago, the raccoon with the bird feeder. Is that Frank Betty?
It looks like him. I swear to God, that's it is. It says via Frank B. Is that really him?
It was Frank B. then. Okay, so that I thought that was Frank B. I go, this is from Frank. Must have been listening because he sent it in. Look at Frank playing with the raccoons. Oh my God, that is Frank like, Betty.
Yeah, he's like you with the ducks, obsessed with them.
Yeah,
I've now, never gotten close to a raccoon in my life. Look at that. What was there 10, 15 of them right there?
Here's the guy on the bird feeder. Yeah. Look at that. Smart fella. Like Turk de Soleil. Yeah, that's incredible. That is Frank Betty. What's he doing? He's like, like hanging out with 10 raccoons. That's nuts. Now,
are raccoons
are telling me,
really that friendly? I don't find raccoons like.
I was surprised, too. Yeah. Well, apparently Frank's a man of the people.
man of the raccoons. The
raccoon whisperer. The people are telling me easy with the bread, with the bird, with the ducks. I don't know. I said, guy said, sweet corn. Said, buy some sweet corn and give it to him. I don't know if he's blanking with me or what. I always thought you give ducks bread. I don't know. Because they're all over the place down the street here. There they are. Pulling up. Now, the other guy said, that's Canadian geese. The one down the street are ducks. This is, he might be right.
Some of these are absolutely geese. No question.
He said, these are Canadian geese and they are prickly. They are not friendly. But the ones right there, that's when you come out of the development. Down the road here, they're ducks, and they're hanging out in the pond all the time. There it is. That's
your blues. Real treat, huh? To have around. Have you noticed any like gigantic signs of duck poop at all? I used to live out at a place called Desert Shores here in Las Vegas, like three man-made lakes. Paul, the ducks, the ducks are out there by the truckload. The problem is, they got to go to the bathroom, and it's all over everywhere. You haven't seen any of that yet? Does your HOA keep it that clean where it's not going to be an issue?
They do a great job. They do a great job. Ton of water. Ton of water. They're always cutting the grass. Yeah. HOAs. They do a hell of a job out here. I got to give them a lot of credit. Yeah. It's with the bear. That's the bear. That's one here in Wisconsin. Yeah. Look at the bear going for a walk. Look at that.
Like three,
I can't believe
it's like 3 miles. But that's a real bear. That's not the fake nunchuck video bear from yesterday.
No. That thing's huge. That's Revenant. That thing's coming for DiCaprio.
Oh, I'm no bear expert. My guess, I bet you that thing pushes 400 pounds.
Is that a top 20 scene in movie history? DiCaprio and the bear and the Revenant?
I know this is a top 10 video I've ever seen. Top 10 scene? Boy.
Oh, that was shot. That director's
for the... Yeah. I don't keep my running top 10 on me, but I could have to think about that for a little while. That's the movie where he won an Oscar, huh?
He did a great job. I thought he deserved it. Yeah.
Yeah. Hasn't he had better roles though?
I don't know. He was great in Wolf of Wall Street.
Awesome.
I thought he gave a fantastic performance. He's great.
Kelly, Catch Me If You Can. Awesome movie.
Yes. Underrated movie. Excellent performance. Great movie. Yep. So we had it all last night. You're right. A lot of $3 moves. A dog from 225 to 110. 10 to 1, 9 to 1, 8 to 1. The Shore fight to start it with the total. And every card, every fight on the main event, on the main card, rather, goes a decision.
Up next, Reed Fowler is going to join the program. He is with DraftKings. I want to ask him what the handle is like every week for these golf tournaments. First round leader, hole-in-one props, make or miss the cut on so many golfers. That's coming up next.